Free Talk Live, 855-453. That's 855-450-3733. You can call in and talk about, well, whatever's on your mind here on this live edition of Free Talk Live with Mark.
And Cantwell.
Ian's off tonight, so you got us. 855-450-free. You can also use Skype. We are LRN, that's as in Liberty Radio Network, LRN. .fm on Skype, so you can just call in there, or, you know, send a friend request first, then we'll take care of that during the show, and you can call in, and usually it sounds a bit better. 855-450-FREE. We talked, it's probably been a year since we talked about this story, but it seems to be the ongoing Kafka-esque trial of this. Is it Iowa legislator or something like that?
Yeah, his name is Henry. I think it's Rahons is the name, and he's a Republican legislator in Iowa. And apparently, I just caught wind of this story the other day, and he's been charged with third degree sexual assault in Iowa for having consensual sex with his wife.
Third degree sexual assault for having sex with his wife. All right, we have to hear more, right?
Yeah. I mean, the catch here is sort of that, okay, so the situation is that the wife is an Alzheimer's patient, okay? She's in a nursing home, and so there's some issues of whether or not she's capable of consenting to sex.
Sure. Like, the government says that certain people aren't capable of consenting to sex, and I would agree with them on some subjects, and others I'm not sure about. Like, for instance, they'll say, I'm with them on this one. Seven-year-olds really can't consent to sex. However, they will say that certain people of some level of retardation or whatever the term is, special needs, I don't know, otherly mental.
Impairment.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. That they're not able to consent. And I don't really know what the answer to that is. I mean, I don't know if you're 22 years old and you have an IQ of 45 – does that mean you're not, there's dogs with higher IQs, but people with IQs that low.
Right.
I mean, does that mean you're not capable of consenting? I don't know the answer to that, but it seems to me that.
I think that if you're 25 years old and you haven't been laid yet, I'm pretty sure that you really, really want to get laid, whether you have an IQ of 45 or 150.
So there's also people that, obviously people have dementia. If a couple has been married for a long time and one of them begins to, go a little batty, as is one to do with us these days, is it not okay to have sex with your wife any longer? What if you both go batty? Can you do it then?
Well, that's the thing that you get into. And I mean, they make similar cases with like alcohol and stuff, right? They say that, well, if the one woman, Lacey Green, and a number of people are on the same page as it. But I went off on this one particular woman who said, if a woman is too drunk to drive, then she's too drunk to consent to sex. It doesn't matter if you have also been drinking, then right. you are a man. So you are therefore a rapist. And so, if there's a situation where this in the case of Henry Rahons in Iowa, she's been taken out of his home against his will, by the way. Okay, so like he didn't want his wife, I believe her name is Donna. He didn't want Donna to leave the house, and but Donna's daughters from a previous marriage began to get like concerned about her well-being. Right,
right.
That,
sure,
that he would, he was a busy guy, he's a political figure, and he would have to go do things, and he could not always be next to her. And so they were like, "Hey, we want to put her in a home." And finally, they like did it like while he was at work. Like he came home and his wife was gone.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's not happy about this, and then he's going and visiting her in the nursing home. And there are occasions where, yeah, this woman's a little off her rocker, right? But she says, shall we play a bit? And she's asking for sex.
Wow. Okay. It's a bizarre story. Let's go to Richard calling in from Northeast California. Richard, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi. I just find it odd that, like, government workers are trying to pass laws on sex. Because, like, I didn't even know that Cylons bred. Like, that's a new one on me.
What?
But I was more curious about anybody who works for government's a Cylon.
Gotcha.
I was more curious about New Hampshire. Like, what pH are your guys' wells out there?
What is the pH of the wells in New Hampshire?
Yeah, like somebody on well water. What's like the average pH going on?
You know, I've got well water, and I couldn't tell you what my pH is. You know, they come out and check it every once in a while, and I, you know, like I'm completely ignorant of that piece of information. The internet might be able to whip up something for you, though.
Yeah, I've got get my water from the city of Keene, I'm pretty sure, and I can tell you that it don't taste bad.
It's also not fluoridated here in southwest New Hampshire.
That's I have heard that.
Yeah, I'm just in the middle of nowhere, but I also watched the Derek J. Gun carry appeal thing, and I just thought that was absurd because, I mean, I'm calling from California, but I live in a county in California where the more cows and people. We don't have parking meters or traffic lights, and it's a shall issue county. Like, they can't deny you for that. And I just
I don't know. Can you carry a gun around in that county?
We used to think the same thing about the state of New Hampshire. We used to think that this was a shall issue state. And then they said, hey, well, you shall issue unless we determine that you are not a, quote, suitable person. Which, you know, really threw us for a loop with the Derek J thing. But you're saying you're in California and your county is a shall issue?
Yeah, most of Northern California is. Like, California gets a bad rap, but, like, we're not all, like, Bay Area or L.A. people. Like, I mean, I'm super rural. For me to drive to a Walmart is 100 miles one way. And we don't have any – well, we have a Subway. That's, like – or I hope I – but that's like our only fast food here. But we're out way up in the mountains, but most of Northern California is like that, and like a whole bunch of counties I've lived in, parts of Humboldt have parking meters, but like Trinity, Siskiyou,
well,
Modoc,
let me ask you this,
Lassen.
Richard, can you carry that gun around? And is it only in the county?
Well, see, that's no, it's good for. If the sheriff gives it to you, and if you live in a county that's like under 10,000 people, like they can't say no. And
but you can't take that thing to LA.
You can.
Yes, can or can't?
You can.
Can,
you're allowed to?
Huh.
Yes.
And
so that's what I found odd. Like California gets a bad rap, but. You know, we're not all like the liberal coasties. Like, you get
I understand completely. If you were to take California, you know, and stick it on the East Coast, it'd run from Maine to South Carolina. I mean, it is a big place.
That's the thing. Yeah, exactly. It should be kind of – it could be its own country. I mean, it's bigger than a lot of countries in Europe.
It has the seventh largest GDP in the world comparative to France. So it's a big place. Richard, I do appreciate the call. There's a little bit of a click on the line.
Yeah, a little noise there. I mean, it's an interesting thing because, I mean, like, I'm from New York, and New York – is the state of New York, I mean, the city of New York is a really, it's a tiny little dot on the map of New York State. But their government, the city government, has so much influence in the state government that you get screwed all the way from top to bottom, and it's really bad. So you have there are obviously more tight restrictions on guns in New York City than there are in, say, Albany. But you certainly don't get a shall issue permit anywhere in New York, and even if you get a state issued permit, you still can't even carry it into New York City. It's crazy.
No, they say otherwise. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, every place is different on these gun laws. It's really interesting. You can have whatever tools you want except for the tools for defending yourself.
Yeah, and that's why I've got like an app on my phone that's like the concealed carry app. So it sort of gives me a rough outline of, you know, where I'm good and where I'm not and what the variations on the regulations are from place to place. Because what seems like perfectly legal here, it's like I could accidentally cross the border into Massachusetts and become a convicted felon inside of 500 feet.
The story that we're talking about here with this Iowa legislator has been charged with third-degree sexual assault for having sex with his wife.
Yeah, consensual sex with his wife.
Fascinating stuff. I want to explore this just a little bit more when we come back. It sounds like a witch hunt to me, but we'll see. 855-450-3733. Is there a circumstance where an adult can't make a decision to have sex? 855-450-FREE. Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can give us a call and talk about whatever's on your mind. It's Mark with you.
And Cantwell.
855-450-3733. And we, you know, holidays are coming up, and we recently got our little box of Sherry's berries. These things are delicious. Cantwell, I'm sorry I couldn't save one for you. They're just so good.
These are like the big berries, right? They're like the size of a hand fruit of a strawberry or something.
They're not super, super gigantic, but they are always tasty. I mean, they're not small berries by any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, I've seen gigantic berries, and you know, they don't always taste that good.
Right.
I think that really these are the best described as sort of super premium gourmet berries.
Okay, so they're not the like Monsanto giant Plum Island bioweapon fruit.
Look like a grapefruit. No, they don't. But they are really, really good, and they come in a box, and you know, they're well wrapped, and they're really nice. And I can tell you what, you can't eat just one. They're really so good. You're going to be trying to figure out how you can elbow your family and friends out of the way for them. And so I'm recommending these as a holiday gift. They start at $19.99. It's over a 40% savings. Or you can double the berries for just $10 more. And you just need to use coupon code FTL. You go to berries.com. You click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. And berries.com is spelled berries.com. And when you click on that that microphone in the upper right-hand corner, you type in FTL. And it's the perfect gift without any hassle. It's berries.com. Click on the microphone. Type in FTL. Order them today. By the way, they do have a telephone number. It's 866-FRUIT-0. It's 866-FRUIT-0. With Christmas coming next week, there's only one way to get this amazing $19.99 for Sherry's Berries offer, and that's to go to berries.com.
Isn't it Fruit 02?
It's Fruit 02. What'd I say?
You said Fruit 0.
Oh, my goodness. 866-FRUIT-02.
That's only six digits.
Yeah, what can I tell you? Berries.com, the microphone in the upper right, type in FTL. And get this, because I'm telling you, whoever it is going to love it, whether it's you know, mom, the spouse, you know, dad, whomever. These things are delicious. You want to double the berries, because if you're around, you're going to want some, too. Berries.com.
I think I'm actually going to do that. Like, I'm dreading going back to New York. I'm going to go back to New York for Christmas pretty soon, and I dread it. Like, I hate Christmas and you know, the whole family thing. And, like, I don't know what to get these people, you know? It's like, I what am I going to do? I have no idea. You have everything you need. And I'm like, all right, maybe I'll get you some fruit.
Can't hurt. Fruit's always a good thing because people like it, especially this time of year. So let's go on with the story of this Iowa legislator who has been charged for having consensual sex with his wife.
Yeah.
And it is a fascinating story that I just can't imagine what's going on there.
Yeah, it's something that drove me completely out of my mind. And it's one of these things that, like, you do hear is especially when I started like writing for A Voice for Men and stuff like that, you start looking into more like false rape allegations and things like that. And I mean, this usually involves someone who's claiming to be a victim, right? And sometimes you find out that, hey, in fact, this person was not a victim. And in this case, we've got a person who's not even complaining that somebody else, somebody completely outside of this transaction, is coming in and saying, hey, I know you're married to my mother and all, and I know that she's asking you for sex, but I'm pretty sure that you should go to prison for the next decade because I don't approve of your sexual relationship with my mother who opted to marry you.
Yeah, you know, it seems to me that if you're the default answer to sex is yes once you get married.
The default answer to sex should be yes all the time, you know.
I don't think that works out. But I think that you can obviously you can opt out. Honey, I have a headache tonight. That's not going to work out. But, I mean, it's an expectation, right? Like, marriage is, among other things, a contract for sexual relations. As a matter of fact, in many societies, a marriage isn't considered to be legitimate until sex has occurred. Right. That's how important it is to that contract.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the other thing that, you know, came up about it for me is like, we understand you as we went to break earlier, you had said, does there come a point where an adult can't make a decision? And I would say in large part that the answer is yes. Right. So like if somebody's an Alzheimer's patient and they're in a situation where they can't be trusted to make responsible decisions with their money, for example. Right.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So we understand, like, give somebody a power of attorney, they get to make certain decisions about the person's money. If a person was of sound mind, we wouldn't allow anybody to do that for the most part, right? Nobody gets to just take over control of your bank account unless they're the IRS or something like that.
Well, the spouse does to some extent.
To some extent, but like you can have a bank account that your spouse, you know, can't access without like a court order or something like
that,
theoretically. So, I mean, you know, these are situations where, you know, it's a unique situation that if you are not of sound mind, that somebody else gets to make certain decisions for you. A person can decide where you get to live. They can put you in a home against your will, where normally, you know, this would be considered kidnapping, and to do it lawfully, you'd have to have like a warrant or something like that. But if you're in a position where you're not of sound mind, then somebody gets to make other decisions for you. Now, we can understand, I think, like if a stranger or like a caregiver at the nursing home started having sex with this woman, like I can understand the concern there, right?
Yeah.
That like, okay, so this woman's not of sound mind, so this stranger comes along and has sex with her. I think it's totally normal to call this guy a rapist and say he's the worst type of criminal, get him out of this industry at the very least, and possibly, yeah, let's consider putting this guy in prison because we say that this woman isn't ready to consent.
Well, I think if there's consent going on, that I'm not prepared to say that he needs to be charged, or she or whomever needs to be charged. But I am willing to say that you're in the wrong line of work if you're, agreeing to sex with your patients when you're a caregiver.
Right. At the very least, we should say that this guy should not be working, or woman should not be working in this place if they're going and taking advantage of mentally disabled people. Because even if they're asking for the sex, I mean, it's just sort of like at the very least, it's unprofessional. Right.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want if you put your mother into a nursing home and then found out that some nurse there was, you know, having sex with her. I imagine you'd be kind of upset about it. Right.
Right. I mean, well, for instance, if it's suppose I'm going to a psychiatrist and then we begin to have relations or whatever. I feel that's unprofessional, too. I don't think that person, if there was a way to fire them, I would. But at the very least, it should be publicized in the local news that, oh, my God, are you kidding me? A psychiatrist is having sex with, you know, me. I consider myself completely capable of making that decision. But, you know, you got to cut off the professional relationship. There should be a period of time that sort of a cooling off period where you make your decision as to whether or not to date, and then you can do that. But
I don't know. I sort of always hope that like Tony Soprano would hook up with his psychiatrist in The Sopranos. I don't know if you watched that
show. I hope that's too, but I don't have any idea what's going on there.
Oh, okay. Well, but in any case, but like, so we would say like, okay, well, this is if it's a stranger, if it's a caregiver or something like that, we would say that there's a problem, whether or not we call them a rapist. Perhaps you and I disagree on that, right?
Yeah.
But we understand that there's a, but with them, we would also call that person a thief, right? If they took advantage of this person to take their money.
Yes.
Right? If they took this person out of their home and put them in a different place, we would call them a kidnapper. But yeah, we understand that the people closest to them, the family member, the spouse especially, gets to make certain choices for a person who becomes disabled that way.
That much is obvious. It's true. What do you think? Is there a situation where an adult's not capable of making a sexual decision? 855-450-3733 or lrn.fm on Skype.
Are you searching for your soulmate? Someone you can trust, who will never betray you or cooperate with the NSA? Stop searching. With EasyDNS, you found a keeper. EasyDNS does it all. Domain names, web hosting, and managed WordPress hosting. EasyDNS stands up for your internet freedom, and with servers in Canada, they do not cooperate with the NSA. Go to EasyDNS.com. You'll love their services or get a full refund. They guarantee it. And they accept Bitcoin. That's EasyDNS.com.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. It's Mark with you.
And Cantwell.
855-450-3733. We're talking about this situation where this Iowa legislator, and I guess that doesn't really matter, this Iowa man.
Yeah, I mean, I there's an article about this on my website, ChristopherCantwell.com, where I sort of started off with, like, I don't like this guy, right? Like, he's like a moderate Republican. He's sort of, like, voted for some bad stuff against medical marijuana and supported a ban on texting and all different sorts of, like, you know, statist things that I don't like. But those are all good reasons for the people of Iowa to, like, vote him out or string him up or something like that. It's not a good reason to charge him with rape.
Agreed. There's a Cantwell during the break. You were asking me about In Freedom's Cause. There's a copy right there that I just let you have, and it's a really great two CD set of audio theater, and it's wholesome for the whole family. I'm sorry, there won't be any cussing in it for you. Can you handle that?
I might. I'll edit it. I'll like insert some dirty stuff.
I'm sure that William Wallace probably cussed at some point in his life.
Might have done that a couple of times.
But we probably wouldn't recognize them as cuss words. They probably have been, like, just over the years gone out of the vernacular. But this is the story of William Wallace and Robert the Bruce. And this is just not any ordinary audio theater. Not that you find audio theater is pretty much extraordinary these days, because you don't find much of it.
Right.
But this is a two CD production. It's feature length, essentially. It's got big time actors in it. Joanne Froggatt from Downton Abbey, Billy Boyd from Lord of the Rings, Skandar Keynes from Chronicles of Narnia, James Cosmo from Braveheart. And it's just laid out. In fact, it's narrated by a man with an incredible voice and a big name. Ian recognized it. I don't have it right here in front of me, but it's yep. It's really a great story. It's the story of the struggle of human freedom, one of the greatest stories of the struggle for human freedom in history. It's infreedomscause.com, and you can get the family four-pack for half price with coupon code FTL. It's infreedomscause.com. Use coupon code FTL. Get the family four-pack. It's $50 for all four of them. That's $12.50 a piece. And those are great gifts. You can give those to the kids in your life. Adults, history buffs will enjoy it too. InFreedomsCause.com, coupon code FTL. I will not steer you wrong. This thing's amazing.
Yeah, I actually asked him during the break. I said, hey, while we're not advertising them, is this thing worth listening to? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. So
Jack loved it. He was really enthralled. And Laura and I, we listened to it at the same time. And it's a great story.
I'm going to check it out.
InFreedomsCause.com. Let's go to Greg calling in from Brooklyn. Greg, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Brooklyn!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Greg?
So I just wanted to talk about, I guess, outcomes, because there's sort of two conversations.
You know, this is the thing about New
York
City.
Sounds like you're about to have a bad outcome.
This is the thing about New York City. It's never quiet there. I've gone to New York City and tried to spend the night. Jeez, it's noisy all the time. Go on, Craig.
It looks like it's tax dollars at work, huh? Anyway.
Where I live, ambulances are pay per ride.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's
Can you believe that? That somebody would want a service like getting to the hospital so badly they'd pay for it.
Crazy. I cannot imagine.
I guarantee they're cheaper than your rides.
So I kind of wanted to talk about, welfare, wealth redistribution, stuff that liberals talk about. Well, I mean liberals, like progressive-type liberals, not
yes.
Possible liberals. But I want to say up front, like, a lot of the time when I have this discussion, it looks like a fire truck. When I have discussions with libertarians, like, it becomes like two or three different topics where I'm talking about outcomes and, like, yes, maybe the data supports that outcomes are actually better, as in, like, measurably things improve for more people, but then the discussion is like, well, you're taking the money by force, and then it becomes like a moral discussion.
I remember you, Greg. You had called in last Wednesday when I was in here, and I'd actually invite you to go to my website, ChristopherCantwell.com. I actually wrote a pretty lengthy response to your call, because the thing is, the truth of the matter is, Greg, like, we're doing a 3-hour radio program. There's 15 minutes in between commercial breaks and stuff like that. It's difficult to hash out every individual point of this thing over the course. We can't dedicate dedicate an entire show to every different aspect of it, you know. But I actually wrote what I think is a pretty thoughtful response. So if you want to maybe pick out one portion of this, maybe we could try to talk about it for a couple minutes.
And I think let me respond too, because I think that this is a complaint, and it is a fair complaint, because what happens is that there's this this war of think tanks. Because for every outcome that you're going to point out that's superior, hey, we've had welfare for 100 years and, you know, education's increased. Take a look at this. People are better fed, or whatever the outcomes you're going to look at are. There's somebody on the other side who's done a study that says that that's happened in spite of the things that you've said. So there's the war of the studies doesn't really get us anywhere. And that's one of the reasons that we on this show and libertarians generally tend to retreat to the moral argument, because the moral argument is sort of, hey, well, you know, if wherever you got by killing, maiming, and destroying, is it okay?
Right, and I think that's a fine argument to have as well, but if you have a moral argument, you can't then go right back to saying, well, you know, for example, property rights in laissez-faire capitalism are totally justified because, look, they've led to better outcomes all around the world. You can't go back and forth and sort of deny that right to the other person, but then you invoke a completely different discussion.
Yeah, we actually can do that.
We can do it, and we're very good at it.
Yeah, Greg. that's exactly you know, we're the guys with the microphone, so I mean, we can sort of do whatever we want.
But you fairly pointed out, and you're one of the few who's ever pointed it out throughout the years. But I mean, I think that you. One has to, if one bases one's philosophy on property rights, and most people do to some extent or another, like, you know, the liberal argument on property rights is, it's not that property rights don't exist, it's usually that property rights are what I say they are. And so you have this sort of the shifting sands of property rights, because you don't believe that property doesn't exist, right?
I would say that, for example, you may disagree with intellectual property and someone else may agree, and there you go. You know, property rights are not inherently in nature. They are a convention like any other right, in my opinion.
But they're a pretty common convention, like, you know, animals guard territory, you reach for a dog's bowl, you're liable to get bit, that kind of thing.
Yeah, of course. And on the level of, like, a village, that's totally fine. But when you get into, like, you know, you, just to name, like, off the top of my head, there could be, like, adverse possession. There could be easement. There could be all sorts of things that we don't think about, but that arise in a complex society. So I don't think that property rights themselves, and Milton Friedman or someone like that would agree with that. You know,
he would. Say they arise in a complex society, I don't know exactly what that means. Is just because they are the way they are today doesn't mean that they have to be the way that they are today. I mean, because the people that rule us...
They don't have to be that way. They can be any way... In different societies, they are in different ways. You know, there are Muslim banks that don't charge interest because of the religious laws. It could be whatever it is, and that's what it is. And saying that capitalism, in a certain form of capitalism, is the most moral thing, it may be in that society, but that's only because the property is defined away by law. That law is still legislated by lawmakers.
It's
That's
true, Greg, but when I back the way I've managed to back you into a corner in the past that you haven't been able to get out of is, am I free to go? Am I being detained? And my question to you is this. You say that it's a complex society. Can I withdraw? Can I take my property and go and say I don't want it anymore? Because I can tell you the people in the state won't let me do that.
Well, I mean, I think you should be free to go the same way that I'm free to leave Facebook, but then I won't get all the photos and all the nice stuff that comes with it.
Right. I don't want to pay for public school. Why should I have to pay for public school?
I think if you move away from the United States, you won't have to
pay. Oh, now I've got to...
Love it or leave it.
The government owns my land? Free Talk Live. 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE. That 3733 spells out free. If you've still got one of those phones that has letters on it. You know, when I was a kid, all the phones were attached to the wall and they had letters on them. And it was really a big deal to have something that spelled something out. But not so much anymore.
Yeah, now, you know, they've got different prefixes and all different sorts of things. You can sort of pick your phone number. I've been through this a few times, marketing agencies and stuff. We got to get you a phone number. Let's spell something catchy.
855-450-FREE. It's the holiday season. If you're still doing shopping, which, you know, maybe you are, please do your shopping through shop.freetalklive.com. That is, you know, frankly, the Christmas time shopping is a big boost for us. It's very helpful. We have links there for Walmart, for Amazon, other online retailers, including Newegg, and gold.freetalklive.com, too. So just go there, shop.freetalklive.com. And let's go to Jimmy calling in from Arizona. Jimmy, you're on Free Talk Live.
How y'all doing?
Hey, Jimmy.
How's it going there, Mark, Chris Campbell? Well, hey, I was having myself another bad week.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, I watched that Beverly Hills Chihuahua Part 2, so that cheered me up.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Yeah, oh, great movie. Y'all should check it out.
It's one of the opuses of our time.
Yeah, it sure is. It's right next to RoboCop. It's good. Yeah, well, I kind of got upset. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I get up there to New Hampshire. I applied to the Keene Police Department, but they said my IQ was too high.
So, I can hardly believe that.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous. So, you know, now I may have to. Yeah, Milford, my wife. I don't know if Christopher Cantwell knows her or not.
I think I know your wife pretty well, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, good. She's friendly.
Yeah.
She may have to get a job up there and support us.
But nice way of putting it.
Kind of she's got a particular skill set. And, it's serious, boys, you know. It's a good job. She makes a lot of money. I don't think I've told y'all before what she does, but she's a plus-size hand and foot model.
She's a plus-size hand and foot model, okay.
Yeah. When somebody needs, flip-flops with some cankles in it, you know.
I thought when you called in last time, wasn't she working on some kind of documentary about how to breastfeed your pets?
Yeah. Well, she's busy.
She's a multi-talented gal.
She's got have you had a job in the last decade, Jimmy?
Probably about 40, 45 jobs. I don't know.
Busy guy, Jimmy.
I don't know. Christopher Campbell, I'm not sure if he knows what it's like, but, you know, people get angry at me all the time, you know. And
for taking all the jobs?
Yeah. Well, they say I got a bad personality or something. I don't know if y'all know what that's like.
Yeah, people say the same thing about me. They call me a name that starts with A.
I'm surprised. You seem like a nice fella.
Yeah, I figured you'd find me to be a nice fella. So that's
I think you two would get along just fine.
Yeah.
Jimmy, thanks for the update. Let us know if you managed to get that job with the Keene Police Department.
You bet. I love you guys.
Love you too, buddy. Oh, Jimmy's funny.
Yeah. By the way, knowing the Keene Police Department, they do not have a limit on IQ. Some police departments do have that.
Right.
And that's why the joke's sort of funny and why I feel like I have to clear it up, because the Keene Police Department doesn't have that prohibition.
They probably don't need it.
I don't know what that means.
I don't imagine that there's like a lot of geniuses lined up around the block trying to become Keene police officers.
You know, I've met some pretty... You know what? I met some pretty smart guys that work there, but they say that the reason that some police departments choose to do that is because police work can be boring. And I don't know if smart people get bored more easily than dumb people. I couldn't answer that. Is that so?
Yeah, I think you, come on.
Anybody sitting there doing nothing
bored?
You
look like a smart guy to me.
But I've only been a smart guy. I haven't been a dumb one, so I don't know whether I would get bored.
Okay, easy. That makes sense.
I've been drunk.
Do you get bored easy?
Yeah. Find myself multitasking and things like that.
Smart guy, you get bored easy. Other people are like, hey, I think I'll just sit in a car and wait for somebody to drive by me when it's too fast. Then I'll go threaten his life.
I'll take your word for it. Let's talk to Mac calling in from Washington. Mac, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, fellas. How you doing there?
Good to be with you, Mac.
I just wanted to I just wanted to talk about what you were talking about earlier about consent to sex. Back when I was in the Navy, way back when I was in during the Tailhook scandal, which recall was my understanding of it was that it was a big party someplace, I think Las Vegas, where a bunch of naval officers basically had a had an orgy with a, maybe a bunch of hookers or maybe a bunch of other naval sailor women, female sailors or something like that.
They didn't invite you, whatever happened, right?
But it was a big,
whatever it was, they didn't invite you.
Yeah, it didn't involve me. Well, after that, then there was sort of this explosion of rape accusations like there is going on now in the Navy. And they had the Chiefs Association, which is chiefs in the Navy, chief petty officers are E7s and up. And they've always had the Chiefs Association as long as they've had chiefs, I think. And the Chiefs Association kind of sort of acts like a parliamentary body almost. They get together, they have big conferences, and they actually propose new rules for the Navy. And sorry, I'm a little bit buzzed right now because I'm smoking an illegal cigar that I could go to jail for.
Okay.
And I accidentally inhaled it, so I might be a little bit stoned right now.
Oh, but, God forbid.
Anyway,
the Chiefs Association.
How dare you call into Free Talk Live intoxicated?
Exactly, yeah. But anyway, so when this whole thing came out, this was in about 91, 92 or thereabouts, there is, and as far as I know, always has been a rule in the military that you're responsible for what you do when you're drunk. If you're in the Navy or the Marines or whatever, and you go out into town and you piss on the sidewalk, well, you can't go back and say, well, gee, I was drunk. And they'll say, oh, no, that's no problem. You're drunk. I see. It's no big deal. No, you're responsible for your actions. So keeping that in mind, what the Chiefs Association proposed and what was actually really considered as a new rule to be implemented was that they started looking at these allegations of sailor-on-sailor rape, and they determined that a lot of it involved drinking. So they proposed that a female sailor, if she's drunk, if she's had one beer, cannot consent to sex. However, if she's out there with a male sailor and they have sex and he's drunk, he's responsible for his actions, but she can't consent to sex. So therefore, any time a female and male sailor go out and get drunk and sex occurs, the male has raped the female. This was actually seriously proposed as a rule. It was shot down, but it was proposed.
I'm glad to hear that it was shot down, but I mean, this is a common theme, right? Like, there's a lot of people out there, Mac, who would tell you that the default position should be rape by default, right? That if there's there's any situation where later on, for whatever reason, the female feels regretful about the sexual experience, that she can turn around and report it as a rape. And people think that that's exactly how it should be. I mean, especially, I'm glad it didn't catch on in the military, but you can imagine that people are trying to do it there, and that's part of the reason that people are trying to play up the sexual assault in the military line, but they're doing this on college campuses now, right? College campuses, the default position is it's a rape, that the male is a rapist, that we kick him out of school, and maybe we don't convict him of rape, but forever in his life, he will be marked as a rapist. And that's something that's really catching on.
You know, this, I think, comes down to the whole, I'm going to call it puritanical, but I don't really know, Victorian maybe, idea that the female sexual organs are very, very important. Because if I were to reveal to you that I'd had sex with people that I regret having sex with, everybody would be like, so what? How very interesting. You had sex with some people you wish you didn't have sex with. Well, I guess you're going to have to deal with it, aren't you, buddy?
Right.
Whereas when oftentimes when women, especially young women, have sex with people and then regret it later, it sort of turns into something much more because that's an important place.
Yeah, I mean, it's just simple supply and demand. I mean, you know, men are in more generally just giving this stuff away. And meanwhile, you know, females are
supply.
Driving up the price of it. And I mean, you know, we had a situation where there was a young lady who spent some time in Keene who was a professional of sorts. And a bunch of young ladies got very angry with her because it was almost as if though she was driving down the price of this product.
This commodity. Yeah, indeed.
Well, yeah, I gotcha.
It does happen.
I also wanted to mention that I'm the white knight that called in last week that sort of stood up for the sexy coffee lady at the coffee stand.
You did a good job, Mac.
One thing that I left out of that story, Thanks. Yeah, but I actually came to agree with Mark, where Mark said that people were generally good but stupid, because actually it was quite a stupid thing to do. That guy could have beat the daylights out of me.
And you were wearing lavender pants. Thanks for the call, Mac. 855.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the realtor Mark Warden. Do you want a home with 20 acres, a lakeside cabin, any takers for renters, buyers, and sellers too? Mark Warden is the guy for you. PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE. It's Mark with you.
And Cantwell.
You can give us a call, talk about whatever is on your mind. Kicking off the second hour of Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733 or lrn.fm on Skype. Let's just go straight to the phones, Cantwell. We've been talking about this issue of the Iowa politician who had apparently been charged with third-degree sexual assault for having sex with his wife, longtime wife, who apparently was suffering from some level of dementia. But
yeah, Alzheimer's patient in a nursing home who, you know, asked to have sex with him, and he gave her exactly what she asked for, and then her daughters from another marriage seemed to take issue with it, got him charged with, he's facing 10 years in prison for sexual assault 3.
And it's an interesting question, as long as you're not the one who's charged, right? Like, when does consent start and stop? Let's go to Lainey calling in from Arkansas. Lainey, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys. First-time caller. And I just want to say, first of all, that Bella, Jimmy, I think his name was,
yes,
a couple calls ago, sure glad I'm not his wife. I mean, oh, goodness. Anyway.
You know Jimmy's just a fake caller, right?
Oh, I know.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm a fake caller.
I'm hoping he's a fake caller, at least.
Okay, I'm an RN, and I've been a travel nurse to many, many states.
Yeah, thank you for your service.
Well, thank you. I never had anybody say that.
Well, you know, that's what really stinks is there's only a few jobs that are it's okay to say that to, and they're all for the government. You know what? It's the rest of these people that make the world go round.
Indeed.
Anyway, I can't remember what state I was in, but I was in a nursing home taking care of some patients there, and we had some patients that were had dementia and Alzheimer's, but we had conjugal visits.
Interesting.
For the married ones. Now, with Alzheimer's, there's different stages they go through. So it's not like, you know, they don't have cognitive ability. So, we would call it like sundowner's syndrome phenomena. Uh-huh. And it's when the sun goes down or starts to go down, there's increased confusion, restlessness.
Really?
And yes, and it's usually during the middle stage of Alzheimer's. As it progresses, it goes away. It diminishes. So, you know, when it's late stage. So this guy in Iowa has a great case, I think, and I'm sure he's going to win it if he has a really good lawyer, because they have, the docs have, and the social workers have, test to measure the degree of the cognitive impairment.
Well, that's actually as long as you're bringing that up, there's the test that they mentioned in the article in the Des Moines Register, which was my source. I'm looking at an article from my website, ChristopherCantwell.com, but I got the story from the Des Moines Register, and they talk about the brief interview for mental status, or BIMS. Is that the test you're referring to?
Oh, I can't remember. It was, you know, I haven't done psych in a long time. This was more, you know, coroners and home health and hospice. But anyway, you know, there is a test for that. So, you know, they can do that. And, you know, they have the meds like Namenda that slows down the progress of the disease. And so I think this guy's got a pretty good case. What I think, and this is just my take on it, it sounds like a family feud.
Oh, yeah, that's precisely what this sounds like, and I can't believe that the justice system allowed themselves to get involved.
Oh, for goodness sake. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, they're nosing into such personal things in our lives. Talk about freedom. Where's it going?
Indeed. Yeah, it is.
Lainey, thanks for the call.
It's crazy. And you know, a little bit of information to add to this. So she mentioned that there's this test, okay? And in the article in the Des Moines Register, they talked about the brief interview for mental status, or BIMS test. And they did say that okay, test subjects score from 0 to 15 on a series of memory questions, such as what year, month, and day it is. They're given words like sock, blue, and bed, and asked to repeat them. Donna Rahan scored 2 on a BIMS given to her on April 3rd, and a 0 on a May 13th test.
But we don't know whether this was in the evening at sundown or what.
Right. So, I mean, there's, you know, this woman is definitely suffering from some impairment. You know,
yeah,
it's getting to the point that it's, you know, pretty significant. So that is worth pointing out. But also, it's also worth pointing out that, like, look, people don't necessarily lose all interest just because they start forgetting the names of their children and stuff, right? So these people, I wrote an article last year titled Alzheimer's Patients Are Getting Laid More Than You Are, and like
they don't remember the last time they did it,
right? And they're getting laid all the time. They're screwing each other in the nursing homes and stuff like that, and sometimes, you know, they're not even having sex with their own spouses. I mean, they're doing this all the time. This is the spouse coming in who is of sound mind, who's going with his wife and that sort of thing. So
there's this lady. I go to visit a friend. He's just turned 85. He's at a care center. I don't know what to call it precisely. It's a place where he lives. And there's this, and you know, I talk to him for 45 minutes, and then I take him to the grocery store and I bring him back. No big deal. About once a week. And this gal that lives at the same place, she'll come by and introduce herself sometimes 3 times in a sitting.
You know? Right.
And she's very pleasant, but has no clue who she's talking to. And, you know, she's completely out of it. But you know, she still functions and whatever. I mean, it's just okay.
You gonna throw one in her?
Nothing. was not. Let's go to John in New Jersey. It apparently is about you being defriended on Facebook. John, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi. Hey, Christopher Cantwell.
Hey, John.
Hey, it's John T. Smith. I was just wondering if you remember, anyway, why you defriended me on Facebook.
I think, if I remember correctly, there was maybe it was something in partisan exchange or something.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I don't know how much interest this is to the Free Talk Live audience.
It
but
is.
Like,
if John called in, it's interesting. Why'd you unfriend him?
I don't remember. You said something negative about me, and I'm like, look, I'm fine to have you. Look, the thing is, this is what I think it was, and I don't really remember the context of it, but generally what'll happen is, you know, I don't know who you are, John. Like, I don't know who any of my Facebook friends are, and it's just, you know, we maybe communicate, you know, a few times, but I really have no idea. There's 20,000 of you people, literally. So I don't know who everybody is, and I have to make room for people who I actually know, because I've reached the 5,000 friend Facebook limit, and people are more than welcome to like my page and follow my posts and stuff like that. But I try to remove people from my friends list if I see them saying negative things about me, because I want to, you know, the next time I date a girl, I'd like to be able to be Facebook friends with her.
John, did you call Craig Cantwell a Nazi?
No, I didn't. I made a joke about him promoting cop killing on his website, but I mean, I'll tell you what, I don't care if you unfriend me, I'm still a big fan of yours because I think it's awesome. I love your website and everything.
I appreciate that, and I hope that you'll stick around, like, because like I said, I mean, the Facebook friend thing is just it's a hard physical limit that I run into with Facebook. So if I see people making negative comments about me, I don't block them. I'm not telling you that you can't follow the posts. I'm not going to prevent you from commenting or anything like that. But on my own personal Facebook profile, I have a limit of Facebook friends. And so when I find room to remove people from it, I take the opportunity. That's all. It's nothing personal, bud.
Right.
Is that a good, John? You feel better?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, too, for some reason it unfollowed me from your page, too. That's actually how I noticed, was I stopped getting your updates. But then, yeah, whatever, it's good now.
I was under the impression that Facebook would continue to have the person as a follower. I'm surprised that that happened, and I'll look into how that works on social media. Thank you for the tip.
Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it. 855-450-FREE. This whole friending and unfriending on Facebook is an interesting conundrum that we have to deal with. I try not to... I don't take a friend request from somebody who I don't believe I have met. And many times I've met people and, you know, they've already sent me a friend request beforehand, so it's sort of sitting out there in limbo. So it can be kind of a difficult thing to manage who's on, who's not, who sees what.
Yeah, in my case, like, my entire Facebook profile is public, and I do have, like, the brand page for ChristopherCantwell.com, and I'm trying to use that more frequently than my own personal profile. But, like, I became sort of a public persona by accident, right? Like, I just was, like, a guy with a Facebook page who people took an interest in. And so, you know, I have 13,000 followers on top of my 5,000 friends. I have hundreds of friends requests pending. So, you know, I have to deal with that in certain ways.
855-450-3733. You can call in and talk about Alzheimer's or Cantwell's friend list. 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live. Talk Live, 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE. You can call in, talk about whatever is on your mind. It's Mark with you.
And Chris.
Well, it's cold up here in New Hampshire, and it's probably a good chance it's cold where you are. It's nice and warm in Acapulco, and that's where I'm headed for Anarchapulco at the end of February. Jeff Berwick of the Dollar Vigilante is billing Acapulco as the new Liberty destination. And I want to see for myself. I want to see this Liberty town that just kind of sprung up in Mexico. I figure that Anarchapulco event is the perfect time to take a look. Speakers include, of course, Berwick and Angel Clark, who just recently moved down there, but also Roger Veer, Cody Wilson, Nima V, Objectivist Girl, Luke Rudkowski, Dana Martin, the unschooling expert mom there, Ernie Hancock of Freedom's Phoenix, and there's a lot more. What more of a reason do you need to go to Acapulco in February? It's going to be awesome. I'll give you a reason. The fact is the tickets are less than $100 if you register by Christmas. So that's, hotels, they're reasonably priced, and there's workshops all week before it, but the real action heats up February 27th through March the 1st. And you can go take a look and hang out with me and the rest of the Liberty crew down there. Take a look at the schedule. See what works for you. It's anarchapulco.com. It's the new Liberty destination. I'm going to say it real slow so you can type it in. Anarchapulco.com. But anarchopulco.com goes to Pulco.
I don't know exactly the spelling of it, but anarcha. Is what he's pushing it as, I believe. And then maybe he registered the other one just in case, as a redirect.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, like, I don't know that, you know, going to Mexico is going to help you get freedom. But at the same time, I do. Like, Jeff's awesome. I love Jeff Berwick, and he's so funny. And I know that he knows how to throw a party. So if you go to this thing, you're at least going to have a blast. There's no question about it.
That much is true. And when you're talking about heading down, I mean, you know, the travel and hotel is pretty good. Comparative, if you're thinking about going on a vacation, why not go on a vacation where you're going to hang out with a bunch of Liberty folks and have a great old time? Tickets are $100 if you book by Christmas. So it's anarchapulco.com. Oh, we burned through the calls, Cantwell. So back to the story of what is this guy's name that is being charged?
Yeah, his name is Henry Rahons, and he is a I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but that's what it reads as. And so he's a Republican legislator in Iowa who's now charged with third degree sexual assault for having sex with his wife. Who is an Alzheimer's patient and was, you know, she was put in a nursing home by her daughters from a previous marriage. And it does seem to me,
his will, which I think is probably illegal.
Yeah, he was not happy about it at all. And, you know, exactly what the legalities of that surrounding it is not something I investigated. But I did look into the daughters. So his daughters, her daughters from the previous marriage do appear to have some political leanings, too. So, I'm trying to find the
really, they don't like the new dad that's a Republican and they might be Democrats?
Right, exactly. Mm. So one of them, I would manage to find her Facebook profile, and she's involved in a certain number of causes. She lists her if you look at her LinkedIn, she's been endorsed for public speaking, community organizing, this sort of thing. Yeah. And her Facebook, her Facebook likes, there's two Democratic candidates for office that she had publicly liked their Facebook pages and is displayed there. So there's some suspicion suggestion that it's politically motivated. And that doesn't surprise me in the slightest, right? Because, I mean, if you're like a left-wing, if you're a lefty liberal lunatic, you probably, especially if you're a female lefty liberal lunatic, probably got some pretty crazy ideas that you're getting from your feminist pals about sex and consent and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's... So I think that there's, you know, there's a continuum here as far as consent goes, and I think we're sort of working it out. I feel bad that this fella is part of the whole let's work out what the continuum of consent thing is. But to me, I'm of the opinion that once you get married, this consent needle goes from no to yes. That doesn't mean that I think that a woman is obligated to have sex with her husband every time he demands it. I'm not claiming that at all. I'm claiming that the default... if my wife, if for whatever reason I became mentally incapacitated and my wife felt the need, the urge, the desire or whatever to service herself upon me in that state, I don't think I would not feel raped.
Yeah, I would go further. I mean, like, look, if a woman comes over my house and has sex with me, I mean, even without getting married, if I have sex with a woman and then she decides to sleep in my bed, like, guess what? You're getting fondled in the middle of the night. You know, like, there's a good chance that you're going to wake up to some sort of sexual contact. And, you know, I think I have a reasonable assumption that you're into it because you're in my bed and you're naked, right? And so you marry someone, you probably do this, you know, hundreds of times over the course of years. And then you're in a nursing home and, you know, sort of, yeah, the implication is, hey, I'm really into having sex with you. And by the way, she's, again, asking for it. She's saying, you know,
I want to
have sex.
This wasn't a woman who's, like, laying there with tubes coming out of her nose by any means.
No, not at all. And she's, you know, there's definitely some mental incapacitation there. They had this BIMS test, this brief interview for mental status, where they said, look, this woman's not capable of consenting to sex because she's having trouble, you know, figuring out what month it is or whatever, right?
Sure.
And so, as I said earlier, we can understand that, like, you know, if a stranger or a caregiver or something like that, you know, had sex with her, we might say that that person was taking advantage of her, but she'd be also, you know, we'd also call them a thief for taking her money or a kidnapper for relocating her. But we understand that her husband, her family members have some right to make those decisions for her.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, so this is, it kind of gets into this impairment thing. If, for instance, somebody... She was in with another Alzheimer's patient or her husband who had Alzheimer's, and two people with Alzheimer's decide to have sex that are taking the BIMS test and scored poorly on it or whatever. Who's the rapist in that circumstance?
As far as these people who are really having as far as this whole rape culture crowd goes, the male is the rapist. That's what they're going to pitch. Rape is a male crime. It's a crime that men commit, and they try to paint men as rapists. And that's what I think that that's what this whole entire thing is about with the rape culture demonstrations on the campus, with this case, with the playing up of the military sexual assaults. It seems like every other day I see some story about some demonstration about rape in India. I mean, all of this garbage is feminist misandry. It's man hate.
Well, I certainly men commit more rape than women commit. I think that one can make that argument. But I think that the rape culture is narrowing the picture for the purpose of political gain. So, for instance, I would contend there is no rape. The rape culture is a facet of violence culture. That this world is everything's contention is based on violence, and that men are the victims of violence far more often than women are the victim of violence. So sexual assault is a form of assault, and it's one that is really looked down upon in our society. But I think that people that sort of push the rape culture thing are essentially diminishing men, because they're the victims of the vast majority of violence in this world, but their violence doesn't count because it didn't happen in this special spot with that other special spot.
Yeah, they don't care for men. And I mean, men are actually raped more frequently than women, too, if you count
males.
Prisons. You know, males are...
I don't know. That the prison statistic was done in 1976, the study you're talking about. And having been in prison from 89 to 98, I could say that the amount diminished dramatically in
Probably.
My experience. 855-450-3700.
Kay Oliver is part of the Tweyambe Women's Group in Jinja, Uganda. She gets old clothes, fixes them up, washes them, and then sells them at the Jinja market. She was quite happy with her success at her business, but realized that a sewing machine would really help her make more money to take care of her two kids. Free Talk Live helped her get that sewing machine. You can help us help more people by getting your coffee through coffee.freetalklive.com. Make a difference, one cup at a time. Get a free pound, try out the subscription, cancel at any time, coffee.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE. And we recently got our Sherry's Berries. You should consider Christmas is right around the corner. It's next week. And if you haven't done your holiday shopping or enough of your holiday shopping, you need to do that. So here's the offer. Freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99. That's more than a 40% savings. Or you can double those berries for just 10 bucks more. I highly recommend this. You're going to want those extra berries because if you're getting them delivered to, you know, a family member or something like that, you're going to want to try them. And then when you people start eating them, you're not going to stop because they are delicious.
And then they're all going to be gone, and then you're going to have to wait for them to come in the mail again. So do it!
Yeah, double. So all you have to do is use coupon code FTL when you go to berries.com. That's berries, B-E-R-R-I-E-S. com. There'll be a microphone in the upper right-hand corner. You click on it, type in coupon code FTL. You'll get the special savings there of the 40% off. They're decadent, fresh, juicy, sweet, irresistible berries dipped in white milk and dark chocolate, and they are incredible. They're beautiful, which is sort of a secondary thing because they taste incredible. There's also other treats for those that aren't of the strawberry inclined, but these aren't like the strawberries you get at the grocery store where half of them are sour. These are all delicious.
Yeah, they're top-notch berries.
So with Christmas coming next week, there's only one way to get this amazing $20 offer, $19.99, Sherry's Berries. You can either call 866-FRUIT-02 or go to berries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Type in FTL. It's the perfect gift without all that hassle. You go to berries.com, click on the microphone, type in FTL, or 866-FRUIT-02. You will not regret this.
I'm doing it.
It's an easy decision for you. Berries.com. Going on here about this this fella out in Iowa who apparently has been charged for having sex with his wife who wanted to have sex with him, but she's impaired.
Yeah. So she's an Alzheimer's patient in a nursing home.
And we were talking before we went out there that about sort of consent. And we were talking about the statistics of males being raped. And we were talking about prison statistics. Now, having been in prison for eight years, 6 months and 21 days, I know a bit about it. Now, I was in prison in Florida, which isn't like, I suppose, being in prison in Vermont, I suppose. You know, it's one of the four largest states. That means the prison population's pretty large. There's an ethnic divide there and, you know, not a pleasant place. I went in 1989. For those of you who want to know and don't listen to the show on a regular basis, I was in a hotel room where a man was killed. I should have talked to the police. I should have told the police the truth. If I was going to talk to the police, I should have told them the truth. I did not do that, essentially giving my co-defendant the opportunity to share his sentence with me. So he did. Nonetheless, whether I killed a man or not is really irrelevant. What we're talking about here is going to prison. And when I first went, it was a pretty scary place. Now, obviously, perspective changes over time. But they kind of cracked down on violence in the prison, and as a result, there just weren't very many rapes from what I could tell. I would have called rapes infrequent but not unheard of when I arrived,
And by the time I left, I used to joke with the with other inmates that I could walk down the compound with a G-string made of $100 bills, and none of them would do anything to me.
I mean, what happened, though? Do you think that they just clamped down on security, or they started punishing people more harshly, or what was the thing that changed, do you think?
You know what let's see, is it the broken windows theory? This is how New York City went from being sort of a crime-ridden to a much nicer place. And the idea is that you crack down on smaller crimes in order to prevent larger crimes. And I think that this is exactly what was done in the prison, is essentially they just cracked down on every sort of behavior, and as a result, the inmates were afraid to step out of line a little bit, and so they didn't step out of line a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I know that when I was in, you know, county jail, I mean, you got messed up for a pretty minor infraction. I don't imagine that improves a great deal when you go to state prison. And of course, you know, if you're going to get in trouble for smoking a cigarette or something like that, then bending a man over a chair and taking his I don't know how much I should say. I'm not used to this whole FCC thing. But, you know, that you could get yourself in a great deal of trouble for forcibly having sex with somebody in a place where you are surrounded by police. But, I mean, I had gone into it because there's a statistic that's commonly thrown around in, like, men's rights movement circles that, like, when you count prison, that there's statistically men are more likely to get raped than women. And perhaps that's from an older study, but I was just trying to pull this up. An estimated 4% of state and federal inmates and 3.2% of local jail inmates reported experiencing one or more incidents of sexual victimization by another inmate or faculty staff in the past 12 months or prior since the administration to the facility.
Now, what does sexual victimization mean?
This is in a 2011 to 2012 study. So, I mean, sexual victimization, though, like, look, if a man's in prison and a female guard offers to have sex with him, like, he's probably not going to be all that upset about having sex with the female guard, right?
That doesn't sound like rape. It sounds like charity.
It does. But at the same time, like, if you deprive a man from the outside world, if he is your prisoner, then, you know, him consenting to sex is kind of like a weird dynamic, right? I mean, people will talk about, like, Thomas Jefferson. If you do a search for Thomas Jefferson, I forget the name of the slave that
Hemings.
Yeah, Sally Hemings, right? So Thomas Jefferson was having sex with Sally Hemings, who was his slave. Well, can your slave consent to having sex with you? Oh, he gave her special privileges. He gave her nicer quarters.
I bet he did.
You know, he probably did a lot of nice things for him, and he said that he loved Sally. So people are like, no, he wasn't a rapist. He loved Sally Hemings, right? No, they're your captive. You can't, they're your property. You can't, your property can't consent to sex, right? So I would say that, yeah, if a man has sex with a female guard, the guard's in a position of power that he's been deprived of sexual access to his wife or any number of women who he might prefer to have sex with. And then she offers him some sex and he goes for it. But, you know, I'd still call that sexual coercion.
Well, I wonder, they use the term sexual victimization here, and I hate those terms.
Yeah.
I like rape or sexual assault because I know what those things mean.
I can relate to that, yeah.
So, for instance, we would play games where we grabbed each other's fanny and stuff like that. And is that sexual victimization? We'd say all kinds of awful, demeaning things to each other. This is prison, right? I mean,
right.
Like, you know, people are saying horrible things
yes,
to each
certainly.
Other. And it's all done sort of in jest. And I can tell you that if things go from kidding around to serious, that you can immediately see everybody like gets very defensive and will not let like if one guy got serious and the others were, you know, playing around, they'd turn on him in a second, beat him into the ground.
They'd wolf pack that. Yeah, I know that. You can't go from a friendly game of grab ass to hey, I'm gonna take you, you
right?
know, without some serious repercussions, not just
serious
from the guards.
Repercussions. So I mean, you know, hey, you're messing up the game for a second. We were having a good time calling each other horrifying names and suggesting all kinds of awful things to each other. And then you want to say what we're saying seriously?
Is it bad that we're laughing so hard about prison rape?
You know, I suppose that if it had happened to me, maybe I wouldn't be laughing as much.
Some people are out there definitely feeling triggered right now, Mark.
I'm really sorry to all those people feeling triggered. I can say that there were situations where it was relatively close for me.
But, I mean, you know, but at least you were of sound mind while you were in there. You were obviously, you know, captured, but you could think.
Unlike this wife who is not of sound mind, but willingly having sex. I think it's a fascinating story. 855-450-3733. Your thoughts on the subject of consent are welcome. Or anything else? 855-450-FREE. Free Talk Live. Talk Live, 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE.
And you can call in and talk about whatever you want. If you want to talk about having sex with Alzheimer's patients, if you want to talk about prison rape, you know, whatever's on your mind, just give us a buzz.
It has been a strange show. It always seems to happen with you on the air, Kent. Well,
we got to keep things interesting.
And it's got to be interesting, right?
Yeah. I love derailing things. It just yeah, that's totally off course direction. It's so much more fun this way.
You can go get a free pound of coffee at coffee.freetalklive.com. And this isn't your average ordinary coffee. This is an upgrade to your coffee drinking experience. It's 100% organic, top 1% grade Arabica beans, shade grown coffee. It's called BuzzBox, and you can get a free pound by going to coffee.freetalklive.com. Now, you pay for the shipping, and it is a subscription program, and you can cancel at any time. You can get your coffee, cancel. It's cool. Not a problem. But if you continue to get your coffee there, as the vast majority of people who go to coffee.freetalklive do, they continue on getting the coffee. It's amazing. We will be able to give, for every 10 people per month that get their coffee at coffee.freetalklive.com, we're able to give another microloan out to another person or family around the world to help them with whatever it is they need, whether they need restaurant equipment or a plow or to get a car fixed or to buy more cows. You're able to help in this way. And I think that that's an incredibly powerful mechanism because it's not a handout. It's a hand up. coffee.freetalklive.com.
That sounds like it couldn't be better if, like, half-naked girls were serving it to you.
Coffee. I think in a lot of these countries, that would be completely unacceptable. coffee.freetalklive.com. Why aren't there countries where that's acceptable? I don't know.
It's half-naked girls serving coffee? I mean, I don't know. They do it out in Washington. That was what Mac was calling in.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a country. Foxy Washington, not a latte. Country.
But, you know, it's the United States. It's inside of a country.
Indeed.
You
know. So there's an article here, and I don't really know what I think about this, and that's, I guess, why I'm bringing it up. I kind of fall on both sides of this. This is an article where President Barack Obama is sort of talking about sharing his experiences of being black in the White House. So on one hand, you have arguably he's the most powerful man in the world, right?
Right.
And like, hopefully inarguably, but okay, arguably the most powerful man in the world. On the other hand, he says that sometimes he gets told, you know, like, somebody's not paying attention, he's in a tuxedo, ask him to get a cup of coffee. I can't say that this doesn't happen, right?
I'm
not going to call him a liar and say that he's never been asked for a cup
of
coffee.
I'll call him a liar, but I'm not going to call BS on this one.
Okay. So, yes, I will call him a liar, but I won't call BS on this particular thing. And I can't say that I wouldn't in it, like, the there's a narrative out there that it's unacceptable to ask a powerful black man for a cup of coffee, to mistake him for perhaps a less powerful black man, right? Because right. There are black men in the world that serve coffee. Now, the suggestion is that somehow these black men are lesser than Barack Obama, which, first, I'd like him to explain his position on that. I'm of the opinion that if it is your job to go get coffee, that that is a glorious thing, and that you ought to get coffee like the Dickens. It was my job for many years to get people's coffee, and I tried very hard to get to make very good coffee, to serve the coffee the way that they wanted it, to have, if I knew the amount of sugar and cream that they had, to have that prepared. Now,
am I some kind of lesser disgusting life form because I served people coffee at one point?
Well, I would say that your social status is considerably lesser than the President of the United States, but, you know, I wouldn't call you a slime bucket for being good at fetching coffee. No.
What if I go fetch people coffee now? For instance, we have Jeffrey Tucker, who sits in on Free Talk Live at times.
Right.
And Jeffrey Tucker likes to have a beverage while he's on the air. I ask him to sit on Free Talk Live, and oftentimes he'll take my seat. I'll sit out. I'll do the production role. For those of you who need to know more about Jeffrey Tucker, you can look him up on the internet. He's a prolific Liberty writer. And I don't know. I mean, is my status beneath or above Tucker's? I have no clue. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm not looking for status symbols on this, but I will run and fetch him a beverage. And he literally will say, I'd like a, you know, whatever he'd like. I run and get it for him.
Well, yeah, he's wearing a bow tie. I mean, you just sort of, you know, you see a guy in the bow tie and you're like, oh, you're the big swinging thing in the room.
And he just comes to mind, but now that I mention it, there are plenty of times that I've done this for other guests that come on Free Talk Live. They're my guest. And so getting a beverage, I guess.
But it's a little bit different than I would say that, like, okay, they're your guest and you're, you know, being a, you know, hospitable person or something like that. It's a little bit different than, like, if you're, like, walking down the street and they're like, hey, boy, go fetch me something. You know, it's a little different.
Well, the terminology would be certainly different. But I guess what I want to say is that let's be careful how we talk about social status here. When Lainey called in about an hour ago and she said she was an RN, now, I could say that somehow a talk show host, she probably makes more money than I do, but she, you know, I could say that a talk show host is somehow a superior position to an RN because, I don't know, I got a microphone or something.
I think it's a pretty cool gig.
Yeah. Well, a talk show host is a cool gig, but RNs, they make, you know, these ladies and men are helping people significantly. I said thank you for your service because I truly mean this stuff. There was a day in prison when I had to sweep the sidewalk, and I decided that I could make a decision to be miserable out there sweeping the sidewalk, or I could be happy doing it. And I said, I'm going to be happy doing this. Somebody, a truckload of inmates come by, they're making fun of me for having to sweep the sidewalk, and I say, the sidewalk's got to be swept. Today's my day. And the officer that was with them said, that's an incredible attitude. Within the week, I had a job on his crew sitting with those guys that were making fun of me.
So, there you go. You're moving up in the world, Mike.
There's nothing wrong with doing your job and doing it well. And the first thing I want to say is getting mistaken for somebody wearing a nice outfit that gets coffee, not the worst thing in the world.
Right, exactly. So, and I think that the implication here, though, is that he's saying that, you know, people think he's a servant. Because he's black is what he's trying to explain to these folks that he's who was the interview with?
It was this is BET? From Inquisitor.com, but I think it was a BET interview that they're talking about. But apparently this has moved around. Like there's, you know, this is a topic.
Yeah, I saw the headlines on social media and stuff like that. And I also saw like Michelle Obama said something to the effect of, I was in Target once and somebody asked me to help get something.
She's
down
tall.
Off a shelf. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, maybe you could reach it, you tall woman. And so it seems to me like these are sort of like minor things. And he says, I think he said at one point, he said something to the effect of, you know, there's not a young black professional who hasn't been standing outside of a restaurant and had someone hand him his keys thinking he's the valet or something like that. And I'm like, I bet there's a few, you know. I don't think that this is happening nearly as frequently as people make it out to be. And you know what, sometimes people think I work at Walmart or something like that, right? I'm walking around Walmart and I've got a open carry a handgun and I've got a walkie talkie and people are like, hey, can you tell me where such and such is? And I, you know what? I don't even tell them I don't work there. I'm like, yeah, it's over there. You know, I help them find what they're looking for.
I can't tell you how many ladies, and generally older ladies, don't want to stereotype any here or anything. I wouldn't want to be a misogynistic or oldism or whatever. But older ladies will ask me for help in Home Depot. Now, that means they're, I assume, mistaking me for a person who works at Home Depot. That does not make the people at work at Home Depot bad or wrong or me or anything
like
that.
But it's racist because white people work at Home Depot, Mark. And they're assuming that because you are white and that you're at Home Depot that you work there.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, it's ridiculous,
and it's ridiculous that they do that because you're not even wearing one of those ridiculous orange bibs like all of the employees. They're strictly doing it on your skin color.
I had this pink shirt that I used to wear on a relatively regular basis. I don't know what happened to it, but it's I don't wear it anymore.
I hope it was stolen and set on fire.
But it was bright pink, and it kind of looked like an orange vest. And I can tell you when I went to Home Depot in that I got even more questions.
Yeah, you probably got like reprimanded by your supervisor. Get your proper uniform on.
Let's go to Richard calling in from Texas. Richard, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh yeah, I called a little late yesterday. I just wanted to finish up on the Jesse Jackson and Reverend Billy Giles involvement with the assassination of Martin Luther King. Is it okay to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't here, so you're going to have to bring us completely up to speed on it.
Oh, okay. Well, no problem if you'll have me. Yeah, there's a video that's been put out. Well, it's in several parts, and it's been broken up by a couple of different producers. One of them is William Peppers. He's a prominent investigator reporter. He's been on the History Channel, the Discovery Channel. And there's Dick Gregory, a prominent civil rights man who walked with Jesse Jackson and Martin and all the rest of the civil rights people. Been on Alex Jones' show and a bunch of other shows. And then there's Reverend Cynthia McKinney. I'm sorry, former
Richard, I want to hear more about this. If you'll just hold the line for me. 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live.
My name is Benjamin Bartholomew. My latest activism has been condensing the 14 hours that Free Talk Live puts out each week as its podcast into its own podcast that is never longer than 75 minutes, the Free Talk Live Weekly Digest. This makes it easy to share with friends and family. But I can't continue to justify the hours each episode takes to produce unless others find value in it. Donation information is in each episode's description. You'll find an FTL Weekly Digest only subscription button on the left side of freetalklive.com.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. That's the toll-free line. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. That's why we call it Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. It's Mark with you.
And Cantwell.
And we've been all over the board tonight. There's no doubt about it. It's just been a bunch of different topics from...
We're trying to shy away from controversy tonight. So we're just talking about like sex with Alzheimer's patients and sex in prison and now race.
Yeah, right. And race issues and those sort of things. And Richard called in, apparently... I'm not going to put words in his mouth. About the Martin Luther King assassination, let's go back to him. Richard, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, fellas, thanks for being patient with me. The reason why this is so important to me because it seems like we're never going to really be able to sing Kumbaya until we get rid of all these agent provocateurs like Jesse Jackson, Sharpton, and whoever else is playing this game.
Yeah, so, I certainly don't think those guys are doing anything to improve race relations.
Oh, I'm absolutely sure they're not. My mother is from Alabama. My stepdad was buried in Martin Luther King's church, Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. So the way I see it, these guys are just eroding everything that was gained. But getting back to that video, too many people have, you know, there's been a trial, an actual trial, and Martin Luther III actually was an eyewitness to the results of this trial, along with Judge Joe Brown, and like I said earlier, Representative Cynthia McKinney. A whole lot of respectable people have looked at this information, and they have determined that Jesse Jackson and others were made it possible for this hit to go down in at the Lorraine Hotel the way it did. Now, I'm not going to go over the details, but the point I'm making is if we don't expose this stuff, then these guys have put their good names all on the line for nothing.
It sounds to me as though you're making a reference to a video that I'm not familiar with. Is there a way that people go find this video?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Saying that this video ties Jesse Jackson to the Martin Luther King assassination. Is that right?
Right. And it's more than a video. I'm just trying to cram in so many things. It's like a detailed account of what happened, and it's like the church committee. I don't know if you ever heard. I think his name was Frank Church. He was a senator. He actually conducted investigations on this, and they had witnesses. They even had the real shooter. His name is Earl Clark, Lieutenant Earl Clark. his wife is still alive. She testified what her husband did that day, and they actually trapped her in a lie. She said that her husband was sick that day when she heard that Martin Luther King had been assassinated. And they asked her, well, what did he do when he got that news? And she said that his uniforms were in the cleaners, and he had to go get them. So they stopped her right there. They said, hold on. This happened when the cleaners was closed, and then it went on from there. So anyway, the truth all came out, everybody who was involved. But the problem is, it's like a documentary. It's not just a video.
What's the name of it?
It's called Martin Luther. It's called Jesse Jackson Killed Martin Luther King. But it's several versions of it. And it's got, this is what's so shocking. It's got millions of hits now, but nobody will talk about it. I've called black radio shows and spoke to people who I knew would not be intimidated or afraid to talk about it, but they won't talk about it. It's like, I'm not going up against Jesse Jackson. It's like saying Obama is a CIA asset. Most black people won't talk about it because they bought into the...
How in the world did Obama get to be a CIA asset, being a constitutional scholar, community organizer, and pot-smoking Hawaiian?
And he went to Columbia University. I know what you're saying. Hey, but one subject at a time,
okay.
Believe me.
Yeah, I can tell you off the bat that, like, look, we are not afraid to talk about it. If I think that Jesse Jackson killed Martin Luther King, I will be more than happy to shout it from the rooftops. As a matter of fact, there's nothing I'd like to say more, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to go look. I'm going to have to look at this video because I'm not in any position to speak intelligently on it. This is all brand new to me, and I'm interested to check it out because I know that I'm sort of a conspiracy theorist, if you will, for lack of a better term. I don't think the government's telling us the truth about 9/11. I don't think that a lot of the things that the government tells us are true. And if there's an alternative theory to the Martin Luther King assassination, that sounds like something's right up my alley.
Somebody was bound to come up with it if there wasn't.
But this is one of the biggest secrets of all time. Now, one of the other producers of it, his name is Steve Coakley. He's kind of a radical black guy from the 60s.
He looks like it. He's got that whole the whole robe thing with the different colors and sort of a funny headdress thing.
Right, and he's kind of a reverse racist, but he likes certain white people.
So okay. I'd love to get on his good side, I'll tell you.
He'd be one of the lucky ones.
They all came together and coordinated their efforts to help out Jesse, but it still is being blocked off. So you guys are pretty much the last resort, GCN and RBN. But the reason why I'm saying this is because, you know, this goes along with the Christmas Day bomber, that Umar Abdul-Muttalib guy. If this guy was set up so we could all be frisked and be molested at the airports, but I can't get black people to even expose that because it makes Obama and Eric Holder look like, well, they set this innocent young black man up to be the fall guy for rape scan, X-ray vision at the airport.
And I've got to say that I think that this probably is really a problem, is that this whole identifying with groups thing, is the idea that somehow Barack Obama and Eric Holder wouldn't set somebody up because he was black. They care nothing about race, very little about race. It's all about their power and I would say that's true of the white politicians too. It's about power.
Oh yeah, I mean politicians will chime in on race very frequently. I wouldn't say that they don't care about it, but they only care about it so far as they could use it to their own advantage.
Yeah, I'll put this video that I've got here up on the Facebook page so the folks can watch it and see what they think. I appreciate the call, Richard. Thanks so much. 855-450-3733. And I will get that posted coming up shortly. So going on with this story about, I guess, Barack Obama getting asked for a cup of coffee, and I guess that's a terrible thing. But this seems to go sort of down a rabbit hole of sort of racial sensitivity. There were some tweets that were leaked out of the Sony thing that came recently. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm supposed to believe these are racist. And I'm just going to chime in here. In one instance, Amy Pascal, an Obama supporter and a movie producer, Scott Rodin, made jokes at the president's expense. When conversing about the questions Pascal should ask during a fundraising breakfast, they joked about asking President Barack Obama if he'd like to finance some movies. They need to get movies financed, and this is probably a large portion of their job, is to find, executive producers.
Right.
And so they say, but the jokes quickly became suspect when Pascal asked if President Obama liked a couple of racially motivated movies, is the terminology here. I doubt it. And so here's the quote. I doubt it. Should I ask him if he liked Django, 12 Years, or The Butler, or Think Like a Man? And these are movies, the best I can tell.
Yeah, Django's the only one that I've seen out of that list there.
12 Years was, you know, basically you're talking about movies that focused on black lead actors that were empowering towards black men or whatever. And somehow this is racist to suggest that Barack Obama might like those movies or want to promote movies like that.
I'm so sick of the racist stereo, man. And it's like, it's gotten to a point where, like, I don't even argue with people that it is or is not racist anymore. I just say I don't care. Like, I don't care if it is racist or not. I'm just talking about a subject. If you want to call me a racist, then, like, go ahead, call me a racist and then make your point, because you haven't made one by calling it racist. I was looking at a thing today on AntonioBuehler.org, something about cake being racist, you know, because some sorority girl, you know, had the N-word on her cake, in relation to some oral sex act, and this was this big thing where this sorority made a big stink because they had the N-word on a cake, and it was a total joke, and everybody went crazy.
Didn't Gwyneth Paltrow get in trouble at some point in the relatively recent past for using? Well, there's two N-words, right? Like there's a colloquial N-word that's meant to be sort of positive, and then there's a less you know, sort of
one that ends with A and one that ends with R, is right. Is this the premise?
That would be it.
Yeah, and it ended with A, this one on the cake, in this question. But, you know, when you're a white person and you say it, there's no difference between the two as soon as the race pimps get involved.
Well, there was in prison. We could do it all the time, and it was a regular occurrence. Like, cracker and the N-word were used on a regular basis, and it was used if it was, you know, it was the tone of voice that was what mattered.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. How am I supposed to know? 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. 855-450-3733. That's 855-450. Free. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. It's Mark with you.
And Chris.
What's on my mind is In Freedom's Cause. It is a CD set, two CD set, audio theater that you have to listen to this to believe it. You'd think that somebody took a movie and put the audio track on some CDs, but there's no movie that goes with this. The movie plays out on your mind. If you want to call it an audio movie, you can do that, because it's got big name actors, ones like Billy Boyd from Lord of the Rings and Skandar Keys from Chronicles of Narnia, James Cosmo from Braveheart, and Joanne Froggatt from Downton Abbey. It's got its own score, which is really impressive. They had their own score produced for this. This is an incredible story, and you can get it. You can get a family four pack for $50 with coupon code FTL. That's half off. It's a special offer only for Free Talk Live listeners. You just go to infreedomscause.com. You'll be getting four gifts for the, you know, young people in your life. These are great gifts for young people, because it's a, you know, it's a family friendly story. But my wife and I loved it when we listened to my son Jack. We're going to take it, as a matter of fact, when we go down to Florida, we're going to take it with us and listen again. So it's going to be great. Just pop it in the CD player and go. InFreedomsCause.com. Use coupon code FTL when you check out and you buy the family four pack, and you'll get it for half off. InFreedomsCause.com. Coupon code FTL. Let's go to the phones. Talking to Barry in Charleston, West Virginia. Barry, you're on Free Talk Live.
How you doing, gentlemen?
All's well.
Oh, great. I'd like to talk about racism. Okay. And the perfect example of racism is Clayton Bigsby.
I don't know who that is.
Well,
is this the black guy that thought he was white? This is the Dave Chappelle?
Yeah, the okay. Dave Chappelle, yeah. The black white supremacist, who's such a wonderful bit.
And then he finds out that he's black, but he's blind, of course, so he didn't know. And he had to divorce his wife because she was an in-lover. Yeah.
Yes. My kids, this was 2001, 2002, and they were in high school. They were in their own room, laughing, carrying on. doing what high school kids do. And they said, Dad, come in here and watch this. Well, they started it. I seriously thought it was a documentary. And I died. I did peel myself a little.
Yeah. And Dave Chappelle is an incredible comedian, and he does such matter-of-fact stuff. It's really awesome the way he does it. But he can dress up like a white guy and do the white guy shtick, and nobody calls it racist. And I don't think it is. Oh, it's just funny.
No, it's funny.
Yeah, yeah. Just funny.
I guess racism, if it makes you laugh, it's not funny. If it pisses you off, it's racist.
Yeah, I guess that's what it tends to come down to.
Well, gentlemen, y'all are doing a good job, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Barry.
Thank you so much.
It.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are people. I'm convinced that, you know, people get really upset about like racist jokes, and I'm convinced that that's like a self-loathing thing, right? Like they're laughing at these jokes and they're saying, oh, I'm laughing at racism and now I feel guilty about it, you know. And these people are probably like white liberals who probably walk across the street if they saw a black guy.
I don't know. I mean, I think that there's certainly some jokes that get cruel. There's no doubt about that. But you know, if we could make fun of the situation, like Chris Rock does this a really funny bit on how not to get your butt beat by the police, and
right.
it's advice to black people, and it's in a sort of a funny way of doing things. But it kind of talks about, you know, maybe there's a system for not getting your butt beat when dealing with the police. Not to say it's going to be foolproof or anything like that, but there are some things you could do on your side.
Right. And in that instance, I mean, we're talking about a number of things that are not funny. Not only are we talking about, you know, racism, we're talking about, you know, police abuse. And that's the last thing that I find funny. But the bit was funny. And it's like, OK, that's the joke. Good job on the joke. Thank you very much. You know, I'm not going to go and condemn Chris Rock as if he's supporting police violence. He's trying to make a bit.
Yeah, and I think that what he was trying to say there is that there's a certain amount of self-empowerment involved in this situation, that you can't expect a human being to they don't operate in a void. So treat people with respect. You're like liable to get treated with respect. I'm not going to claim that I, you know what it's like or anything like that. But I think that I have a small, picture of what it's like to be in a vilified class. I was a white guy in a prison where white people were outnumbered 10-1 of, non-whites. And I don't think that there's whites and non-whites, mind you. I'm just saying that that's. Some people look at the world that way. And it's kind of it gives you some picture of what it might be like to be in the minority. Yeah, I was in the minority at one point.
I've been the only white guy in the room, and that is, you know, it'll make you think differently.
Yeah, it makes you think differently. There's no doubt about it. And it depends on how welcome you feel and in any given circumstance. You know, some people will dislike you because of your color. It, you know, it doesn't matter which side of the fence they're on.
I used to joke around, you know, I had like black friends and stuff like that. I date a black girl and, you know, I said, if the police come here, I'm just going to drop to my knees and be like, thank God you're here. You know?
Yeah, you know.
Certain advantages.
There are certain advantages. And I think that's what white privilege is when we talk about it. I think that I think it exists. I just don't think that it's everything that it's all cracked up to be.
Right, and I don't think it's necessarily something that, you know, I need to demonize people about it, or that I need to be checking all the time.
What am I supposed to do about
it? I mean, you know, if you're black, you know, women might assume that you have a large penis. There's a couple of advantages involved in that.
I suppose there are. I don't know the answer to that, but I suppose there are. So, anyway, I think that this article is going on here from Inquisitor.com. is being a first-hand victim of racism, even as President Barack Obama is determined to stop the trend and usher in a new and accepting America. Now, this racism is he's been asked for a cup of coffee, wearing a tuxedo. He was asked for a cup of coffee, and so apparently mistaken for people that go get coffee.
Right. It's not like he was strangled for not paying taxes.
Right. He's been sometimes, I guess the claim is that somebody's tried to give him his car keys to take your car. Apparently, they trusted you enough to take his car away.
Personally, I don't know any white man who voluntarily hands his keys over to a black man.
That's met a lot of black valets, especially down in South Beach. But, so I've done that, and I'm happy to do it. But here's the quote. If you look after what happened with Michael Brown, if you looked at what happened after Trayvon, if you looked at the decision after Eric Garner, I'm being pretty explicit about my concern. And being pretty explicit about the fact that this is a systemic problem. that black folks and Latinos and others are not just making this up. What are your thoughts regarding the ways that Obama is being treated in the White House? So that question there is to say, I guess I can see what it might be like for somebody, who's of color, sort of in the workaday life and that sort of thing. I just can't see that Barack Obama being asked for a cup of coffee and Michelle Obama being asked to get something on a tall shelf at Target is somehow indicative of systemic racism.
No, I don't think it is either. And as a matter of fact, it just shows how detached from reality these people are.
855-450-3733. Am I detached from reality? What do you think about this? 855-450-3733, Free Talk Live, or LRN.FM on Skype.
This is Mark of Free Talk Live. We've been witnessing a meltdown of the economic engine that powers our country. With a printing press tethered to Washington bureaucrats and New York central bankers, how can we trust paper money? For years, I've been buying gold and silver from Midas Resources, and you should too. Call 877-357-9938 for a free book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, or go to gold.freetalklive.com. Again, 877-357-9938, 877-357-9938.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE. You can call in, talk about whatever is on your minds. Phone lines are surprisingly vacant for this time of night. It's usually these last two segments. They just begin to roll in, and I'm not exactly sure why that is.
We probably scared him away with the whole prison sex thing.
Indeed, it could have happened. If you want to get on our email list, you can go to updates.freetalklive.com. I think the advantages to that are, sometimes we talk about new stations we've added and maybe awards that we've been given and the interviews that we get on other shows, that sort of thing. We will send those out the email list. So, yeah, a lot of people on it, thousands of them. It's updates.freetalklive.com to get the email updates.
I think that you should do that if you're a fan of this show, because if you're listening to, like, if you're catching us on social media and stuff like that, Facebook doesn't show you everything that the show does.
Not the important stuff.
I try to get everybody who reads at ChristopherCantwell.com to go and click on the subscribe link and go subscribe to me, too, because, if you're waiting on Facebook or Twitter or something like that, you're going to miss a lot.
Yeah, you don't get the big stuff. You get the little stuff as it comes by, the things that happen moment to moment, but you don't get sort of the important things that go by. When Free Talk Live is named the 42nd talk show in the nation by Talkers Magazine, you won't necessarily know that by watching the Facebook feed. Facebook is notorious about sort of downplaying stuff that gets posted by businesses, because they want you to pay money to get the views of the people that like the page.
And there's an outrageous amount of money, too.
There's like 40,000 people that like the Facebook page, and sometimes when I post something, if it doesn't get liked by people, it'll just lay there at like 500 views or something. So, yeah. 40,000 people said they wanted to get our updates, and only 500 see it.
Exactly.
So, whatever. It's their service. What am I complaining about? Let's go to James calling in from Arizona. James, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind? James?
Yeah, Michael Brown was a street thug that attacked a cop and paid for it with his life. And Trayvon Martin was a stupid little punk who got in a fight with an armed goon and paid for it with his life. And Eric Garner resisted a petty arrest, and his heart gave out, and he paid for it with his life. And my point is, these are examples of systemic racism in the minds of, say, a community agitator come president, the new American Idol Barack Star Obama, for who I will believe was asked for a cup of tea in the White House about around the same time I believe his race hustler advisor, Al Sharpton, is a reverend. But Mark,
so you don't believe that he was asked for a cup of tea? I found it really kind of odd that he would be in the White House where
he's a liar. Why? You don't need to tell me this, please. I don't want to really talk about it because our president is a liar and a race hustler. And the same guy that claims that some dude asked the president of the United States for a cup of tea because the implication is because he's black, even though honest to God, if he had straight white hair like my dad did. He looks just like my dad. I kid you not, with hardly any discernible difference in skin color.
What's your ethnicity of your dad?
He was German.
Okay.
Witt. I thought you already knew that.
Well,
anyway, it doesn't matter. Our community agitator, race hustler, who pals around with the likes of Al Sharpton, who may shall rot in hell when he finally stops breathing. That man is a criminal. And we have a president that hangs around with criminal race agitators.
Does Ferguson, Barack Obama hang out with Al Sharpton?
Ferguson is 100% the fault and the cause of race hustler agitators like Al Sharpton. If Michael Brown was the gentle giant, then I'm the jolly green giant for real.
If you could like make a point and then have us respond to something, that'd be swell. Because I mean, I'm pretty sure people would tune in to listen to us. But like,
well, be swell, CC, is to hear white intellectuals like yourself not talk about systemic racism that doesn't exist, and then bring up three examples that are all a bunch of local irrational.
Well, the thing is, James, actually, if you listen to the program instead of just waiting for your chance to talk, you'd say that you'd know that I'm actually on your side with most of what you're saying here. That this entire thing is ridiculous. It's hysteria.
I never call into Free Talk Live to find communion or camaraderie. I call in like the GCN commercial says when you disagree with the host. I don't call in to talk about conspiracy theories or 9/11, which I'd love to pick your small brain about, since you think that our government is covering something up. What is it that they're covering up?
I have no idea what happened on 9/11 because the government is a bunch of liars. Truth is usually the first casualty of war. I'm not going to go tell you that it was thermite paint or some crazy Jesse Ventura garbage. I don't know. I wasn't there.
I wasn't there either. Do I accept the general blame for 9/11? Yes.
You accept the general blame for 9/11?
He's just saying the story.
Islamists came over here. There were fanatics of Osama bin Laden.
19 guys with box cutters started World War III?
We're not in the midst of World War III. 4,000 casualties on our side, and that's World War III. Are you crazy?
Well, there's a million on the other side, so I mean, it's a lot of dead people, and I don't know that that's how you measure World War III. I mean, if your government goes and invades a whole half a dozen, how many different wars are we even in anymore? I have trouble keeping track of them.
You call them wars. I don't actually. They're nothing even in nothing comparable to the evil empire.
Oh, yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is that now we've just got so many different words for war now. Like, what do they say? Libya was like a kinetic military action. It's just like, by the time they invade Iran, they're going to call it sunshine for the sand people. I mean, you people don't make any sense.
You people, you called what? We're in World War III? You said that. That doesn't make any sense. We're not in World War III right now.
How many foreign countries does a government invade before it's at war with the planet?
Saddam Hussein was an evil mass murderer and dictator. The fact that we invaded Iraq when all he had to do was put up his hands and say, hands up, don't shoot, and turn himself in, we wouldn't have done anything to anybody in Iraq. But then
according to the State Department's numbers that were leaked through Bradley Manning, there were more than 100,000 non-combatant Iraqi casualties. What does that make George Bush then?
It makes Saddam Hussein and his willing henchmen culpable, not
George
Bush.
What's the Iraqi uniform look like?
What's that supposed to mean? You're trying to play Stump the Ump? What do you want to play Stump the Ump with me?
It's fun. It's like, you know, Cat Williams brought this up in a comedy set, but I really think about it. It's like, we're not over there killing their army. We're over there killing them. And then he says, you want proof? Okay, what's the Iraqi uniform look like? Nobody can tell you. There's not some uniform force fighting the United States in Iraq. It's just a bunch of U.S. soldiers going over and taking over a country.
Hey, clever man, my old man could have put on a German uniform during World War II, an actual real world war, and nobody would have known the difference.
Okay.
He would have looked like a German. That's a total stump the young
BS.
And
I could wear a bra and panties. It don't make me a woman.
With a CC? Oh, by the way, I'd love how, speaking of The Sopranos really quickly and your old boss in the real world, what a surprise. You wanted a murderous, adulterous sociopath to score with the only decent character on The Sopranos, Dr. Melfi. That's a real-life fantasy of yours because you wanted to be Tony Soprano and not the good guy.
Well, I mean, in The Sopranos,
you got him, James. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. I don't know. I never know where to go with him. But I mean, in The Sopranos, Tony Soprano was the protagonist in the show. I mean, he was the good guy, even though he was the criminal. You know, the whole idea is you're supposed to root for Tony throughout the entire thing. You watch The Shield, and like, you know, The Shield is a thing where the guy from the commission, forget his name now. He's the he's like a dirty cop, and I don't like dirty cops at all. But he's the protagonist of the show, so I'm cheering for the protagonist of the program.
Let's go to David calling in from San Francisco. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, greetings. You know, it's funny. We got California's in its big drought. Well, it's raining out here, so our assets are improving.
Excellent. You can't beat it when it's raining in California.
No kidding. Hey, you know, regarding that last caller, I heard a lot of scared rage in that call, you know, and when I think of the fear industry and how they've been scaring the little old ladies and scaring the little kids from the age of zero, I mean, what is it? 9/11 is 12, 13 years ago?
Yeah, 13 or 14, yeah.
13-year-old kids been raised in this whole mess, you know, and they've been just BS'd and propagandized and terrified and made to pay outrageous prices, for what we used to take as normal. And these guys.
Yeah, can you believe we got on planes without getting,
searched and
all those things? I mean, how did that happen? David, I want you to hold the line here, if you would, please.
Sure.
855-450-3733 for the final segment of Free Talk Live. That's 855-450-FREE or LRN.FM on Skype. Talk Live, 855-450-3733. You can go to amp.freetalklive.com, and if you like what we do here on Free Talk Live, it's a great way to support it, support what we do. You also get a commercial-free AMP podcast, and I think that in and of itself is worth a great deal. As a matter of fact, there's also an AMP-only call-in line. We've got somebody on that right now. And there's an AMP forum on Facebook that you'll be part of. Those are the perks, but really the reason for joining the AMP program is because you want to spread the ideas of liberty. Free Talk Live does that in a way that no other radio program can or does. Not on the scale that Free Talk Live does. You can go to amp.freetalklive.com and help us out. Going back to David, calling in from San Francisco. David, do you want to talk about Cuba?
Well, yeah, and the fear industry. Basically, if you look at it, if you knew that Cuba, didn't they produce like a third of the world's sugar? They were like so big in production of sugar, and then all of a sudden they embargoed the entire thing, right? So it was almost a grant to Russia, because Russia was the only ones that would trade with them, and so Russia got all the sugar that was produced in Cuba. And
Probably a lot cheaper, too.
Oh, yeah, because it was embargoed. It was like, sure, we won't even bother paying attention to your... And so it was a, since they were on the crap end of the street, so to speak, anyway, they just traded. In fact, that's kind of the history of, was it right after World War One, Germany and Russia were trading hugely between themselves. And, I mean, they were adjacent to each other, basically, so it was an easy trade. But the idea that they... they had their own economy and they didn't even pay attention to what J.P. Morgan said, and so the whole idea that there's like it's fear industry of the economy, people are just jumping at weird straws when they invest in shoelaces, invest in something that's going to be there that you're going to have a constant need. When they invest in fear, I mean somebody else can come and screw up your scary movie. And like listening to that last guy, you know, he was basically reduced to buying every week. He's got to buy survivalist stuff. It's like he's expecting the apocalypse so intensely that he can't quit.
But fear is what the news sells, right? I mean, that's what they do.
Yeah, I mean, if it bleeds, it leads. And, I mean, there's good reason for that. I mean, people are interested in these things, right? If you get people amped up about something, you're going to get more attention to what it is that you do. I do it on my media outlets. I mean, I'm not surprised that CNN and Fox News and all of these guys do it, too. But it is kind of crazy when we're talking about politicians and government, some of the ridiculous things that they'll put out there, they're just completely baseless, and people just buy it anyway.
Yeah, they sell fear, and then they make fun of the survivalists that buy it.
Yeah.
PTSD.
No doubt about it. David, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, have good holidays. And I think, is it Yalda yet?
I don't know what Yalda is.
Oh, that's the most ancient holiday that they've ever discovered.
Okay.
It was when you stop shivering, the days finally get longer. So you can stop shivering. You can look forward to longer days.
Yeah, pretty soon. I think it's right. It's getting to be the 21st. Anyway, I always like the solstice.
You know how they came up with the name, right?
No.
Yalda.
I have no idea what that means.
Yep, sorry.
Thanks for the call.
Good try, buddy. A valiant effort.
You know, when you have jokes, some are going to fly and some aren't. Yeah. I always thought that the solstices made sense as holidays. I mean, you know, they're very significant in the as far as the calendar goes. Let's go to Jay Noon. Jay, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey guys.
Hey, Jay.
What's going on?
Well, I call it an update you on my federal lawsuit I got against the town of Palmer. They're trying to steal my father's farm here. And it was an appeals court because last March, district court dismissed my lawsuit against the town.
Okay. And
my lawsuit claimed, I basically wanted the town employees to explain to a group of jurors how it is they take land without property, without a jury, as they've sworn an oath to make sure that's the only way they take it, if they've actually sworn an oath to the Constitution. And every state constitution and a federal constitution includes a requirement that they must, that they can't take property unless it's by trial. Judgment of peers.
Yeah, you'd think that would be the case, that if they were going to confiscate property, they at least should give you a day in court to talk about it. But when it comes to non-payment of property taxes, they don't do that, do they?
That, no, not in Massachusetts. You don't even get a judge. It's just a recorder in land court. Not even a judge.
And it's...
So anyways...
It's bizarre.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, well, it's just, you know, it's... You know, it's kind of the same reason the colonists had a Revolutionary War. Anyways, so I appealed it to federal court. And, I mean, I appealed it to the First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston.
Okay.
And they responded with, we affirm with the town's, district courts, the lower courts, report and recommendation to dismiss my case for failure to state a claim upon which relief could be granted. And
is that
there's
it,
nothing
then?
In there saying that, well, no, that's not it. I'm not done. I've got, several more things we're going to do. I'm actually writing a report and recommendation, tomorrow. A motion to reconsider, a simple and clear motion to reconsider. And then, basically shopping around for a paralegal or somebody to help me put together a very good case that to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I haven't even gone after him on my house yet, which is a totally different piece of property.
Okay, so I was wondering about that. When you said your dad's farm, I have been to the house that got confiscated, and it didn't seem like there was a lot of farmland there, so I figured it was a different situation. So you've got two pieces of property that have been confiscated for non-payment of taxes. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. They stole my home, and now they're trying to steal my inheritance. Hmm.
Let me ask you. I mean, it's an interesting thing to see you fight these things in court and, you know, keep it documented and update us on the show and stuff like that, and I appreciate you doing it. And I don't believe in any legitimate authority to tax your property or to take your money or your property from you, but I got to ask you. I mean, at some point, doesn't it just sort of make sense to pay the property taxes?
Well, it would have made sense for, I'm forgetting her name, the black woman, Rosa Parks, to just sit at the back of the bus. It would have been a lot easier. It's got to start.
But my
somewhere.
Understanding of it, Jay, and I apologize for interrupting you, but my understanding of it is, I mean, did you go into this with the idea that you were going to somehow use some kind of legal process and defeat the government in their courtroom? Was that sort of your plan?
On my house?
Yeah.
My house, yes. My house was absolutely, I never paid a penny of tax. And my father actually beat him in 1991 in court.
So yeah, and then, but then you lost that. Then you lost the house, and now you're fighting for the farm. And you know, it's right. one thing if you're like, hey, I'm going to try this legal process, right? And it's interesting, you know, and stuff like that. Well, you already lose your house,
right? This is a great deal of pain that we're talking about here, and that's what I guess what's so heroic about this. I gotta say, it's too much for me.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any kids or anything, and you know, it was a little crappy house on 3,600 square feet of land is the one I lost, and actually the guy who owns it, he's trying to unload it now, and nobody will buy it because I got land patents and everything all tied up in the deed, and I guess he's pretty upset about it. The guy who paid $20,000 for it, he hasn't been able to do anything with it. And he's trying to sell it, and he can't get it sold, from what I understand.
Mm.
Anyways,
maybe you go buy it back for a song.
Well, I'm just gonna with the house. We're gonna go after the tax collector himself personally. In fact, if you Google Palmer tax collector Paul Nowicki, you'll see you get all kinds of trouble shortly after that whole ordeal. He got booked for a DUI, tried bribing a cop. It's actually pretty hilarious. And,
I can't hear you. I'm sorry, Jay. Can't hear you. What was that?
You can just read it. The Paul Nowicki got busted for a DUI.
Yeah.
The Palmer tax collector shortly after my thing. And, he resigned in a whole nine yards, and he got into, some altercation with the cop that busted him. But it's all on MassLive.com if somebody wanted to Google it and check it out. But that's the guy who we're going to go after on my house, and also a few other people in the town.
I can only wish the best to you, Jay. Thanks. Good luck. Thanks so much. 855, well, I'm giving the telephone number. Freetalklive.com in the meantime. It's been an eventful show. Thanks so much, Cantwell.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. You can check us out in the meantime at facebook.freetalklive.com and freetalklive.com.
Hi, I'm Derek J. I don't want a politician to represent me. To me, government is the idea that one group of people can coerce everyone to comply with an edict or face increasing punishments up to and including death. Despite perhaps the most noble of intentions, the best government services are a far cry from what could be provided for by voluntary interactions. Besides, the people who call themselves the government wage wars and put peaceful people in jail for crimes involving no victims. If Starbucks used some of its money to drop bombs, I wouldn't shop there. So why would I support the American Empire? The Empire does not require my consent.
Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.